Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock.
Good evening, brethren. You know the title of our invitation song, Just As I Am. Isn't it good to serve a God that will receive us just as I am? You know, to be able to be a Christian is the greatest privilege on the face of the earth. To be able to be in the work of the Lord, and January the 1st, we sent out our monthly newsletter, and I wanted to use a verse in Scripture that would encourage me to encourage others to be everything that God wants us to be. And I thought about Psalms 34:3. And tonight I want to encourage the brethren, as you already have, beginning in January the 4th, when I was able to travel into India and meet two strange fellas by the name of Arnold Wright and Glenn Colley in Madras, India. And they encouraged me to magnify the Lord with me and to exalt His name together. You think about if we would take that to everyone that we come in contact with, whether it be a family member, a friend, a workmate, a schoolmate, someone that we may encounter in town or as we go on our way in life. You know, the privilege to work in the great land of India is almost as good as the work in the United States of America. I've worked since I was a young boy, and I've been a construction worker till I was 47 years old. And the greatest privilege, other than being a Christian, is to sit down and study the Bible with someone else. I reckon, like Arnold, I love one-on-one Bible studies than anything else I do. To be able to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to encourage others. Like when I tried to step into the mission work in India after Brother Frank Faircloth had started the work over 20-some years ago and had taken cancer and wasn't able to continue the work, and Brother Raymond Clymer from South Carolina followed in his steps, and his wife took on cancer, and he hated being out of the country with her being so sick, and so they asked me to try to fill somebody else's shoes. And my feet are too small to walk in most people's shoes. But ain't we can be so thankful that God will let us just do according to our severability. And I've met so many interesting people that are brothers and sisters in Christ in the land of India. Over 1 billion people in India. Think about the opportunity that so many have made inroads with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I talked to one brother here this evening that knew J.C. Bailey, the Canadian missionary that done so much in India. And you know, since the time the work has begun, you know, there is outside of Madras, India, what they call Thomas's Mount. Supposedly, if historical records are true, the great Apostle Paul or great Apostle Thomas worked in southern India with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the first century. And yet we're just walking in so many footsteps of others that have carried the gospel. Over 10,000 congregations are meeting today because of people just like yourself. Because you chose to magnify the Lord's name and to exalt His name with others. And as you see these that are on this screen, it's hard to see some of the pictures. They're not as clear as I wanted them to be. It's a congregation of lepers. And there's still a lot of leprosy in India. It's not unusual to hold a meeting and to be shaking hands after the meeting and someone grab you with both hands as you shake their hands and find out there's no fingers there. And some of their ears will be gone. Some will lose feet. Tuberculosis usually follows a lot of those that contact leprosy. But one of the things I noticed the very first trip when I traveled into India is when we went to the leper colony, before we got off the road on a Sunday morning, you could hear them singing. And you know, there's nothing like listening to brethren sing that love the Lord. Just like sitting up here this evening with my back turned to you all and to hear your voices lift up in praise to exalt God's name. And you know, that's what we need to do each and every day of our lives. And brethren like these in India and around the world and the places that we travel can encourage us. We were able to travel into a town in August of 2007 called Adonka. It's halfway up to the city of Angol from Madras, where Brother Wright went and visited one of the preachers that you all are helping oversee the work there in India. And yet, they were an English medium school, and the parents were there when we arrived that night along with their children. And we were able to speak to not only their parents, but the children that night. And I was working with a brother from Topeka, Kansas, called Russell Bell. He taught a lesson on the home. And I was able to teach a lesson on Christian evidence. You know, in every place you travel, in the smallest village that you go to in India, they'll have their idol gods. You know, just like the psalmist says, they have ears, but they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have noses, but they smell not. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have hands that can do nothing. They have feet that can carry them nowhere. And yet, they're just dumb idols. And the Lord says that the people will be just like those idols unless somebody carries the truth to those people. And yet, the privilege to see young people learn about Jesus Christ and to bring thanks from around the world, because whether we like it or not, if we're a Christian, you know, just like Paul told the church at Corinth, we are laborers together with God. We have one of the greatest undertakings on God's green earth, and that's to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be able to work with Brother Arnold and Glenn, it felt like I ought to have known Glenn before I ever met him, because my daughter that lives in New Zealand and her husband preaches there and has for the past 13 years, they'd always talked about Glenn Colley. And I thought I should have known him, so I went and listened to him speak at Stevenson before we left. And he was just like my daughter described him. And to be able to travel with him, to hear him speak, and the love that he has for the gospel of Christ, and to hear Arnold say that was right, and that was right, and to know that you could have an elder that's always right, is very good. You know, that's great. And if not, you can encourage him. Remember what your name is. Learn to be right, you know. And you think about the privilege you have at West Huntsville, just like we have in Bridgeport. When we go to India, Guyana, South America, I've traveled to Guyana 7 trips and worked with brethren from Fairhope, Alabama, and from around the great states that we have surrounding us, from Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi. People that love the Lord just like you. And we just came back Friday week ago from doing some follow-up studies in Jamaica. And I thought about, when I was coming down here this evening, about the little lady I met last week. And we were walking down this street after having a Bible study with someone that they had set up the week before. And this man was standing out there with a machete. And he says, "Are you from the church?" And I thought twice about saying yes, but I said yes. And he says, "My mother needs to see you." And I'd never seen this man before in my life. And so he takes me down behind this hut and knocks on his door and tells his mother that, "Well, I'm here. The members of the church are here." And she walks over to the door, and she was 77 years old. And she says, "Oh, I thought y'all was going to be here last night to pick me up." And she says, "But I'm so thankful that you came. You know, I should have never been baptized in that Pentecostal denomination. I was at the meetings of the Lord's church all last week, and I was looking forward so much to seeing you come and pick me up. He says, but I'm glad you're here. I says, we'll pick you up tonight. I was afraid to say we wouldn't. And, you know, we picked that little lady up, and later on that week she put her Lord on in baptism because somebody went to her door and sat down and did a Bible study. You know, those little tracts, does it matter? You know what mattered in that woman's life? How many people can you touch? You know, Paul told the church there in 2 Corinthians 6, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You know, Ephesians 4:29 says that we're to be ministers of grace as we speak, that we should let our speech be flavored like with salt, that we can leave a good taste behind us, just like my brethren did there in Jamaica. And when I came down that road, they were looking for us because somebody left a good taste. They had flavored a life with the saltness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He says, because I've heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You know, that's a good commentary on the gospel of Christ and those that proclaim it, that when they go somewhere, they don't do anything that would hinder the gospel of saving someone else's souls. That if you was to go and speak to one of your neighbors, someone else in the congregation could follow in behind you and continue right on where you left off. That's teamwork. That's fellowship. And the great work that God would have us to do. That's my son-in-law when we had traveled into an island called Vanuatu. Here a few years ago, a congregation in Wellington, New Zealand, where he was preaching, found out I used to pour concrete. And they wanted us to go and lay the slab for a building there. And all we could have was a portable mixer. And so we poured a foundation slab about 30 by 80 so that a congregation that had been worshiping there on that island for 13 years could have a building. They had been worshiping in a building downtown by a Pentecostal group that they played their drums and their horns and their guitars right when they started to begin their worship. And you can see the fraction that that would cause to continue on with your worship. This is my grandson. And just to share a little bit about the great gospel of Christ, he's knocked doors since he was 5 years old, working campaigns. He went to Jamaica with us. But they had been knocking doors with a group from Fried Hardeman in Wellington. And they had knocked this lady's door. And they couldn't get her to study. And as they was walking away, my grandson asked this student, he said, we never asked the lady to come to worship. And so he ran back and knocked on her door and said, would you want to come to worship with us Sunday? And he gave her the time, and you know, she came and she worshiped with them for a year. And we were at a camp up at Palmerston North. And my son-in-law got a telephone call, and this lady had decided to obey the gospel. And she says, I want Joshua to be there when I do that. You know, it's not important if someone is there, but it sure is important that somebody cared, isn't it? You know, isn't that what it is all about, to be able to share the gospel? And this is my youngest grandson. You know, as a grandfather, I got to have to take time, you know, advantage of your time here to let you see my grandchildren. And yet you see that little sword by him. That was the mistake of my wife buying him that sword, because I thought he was going to slay me with that sword. But even more so, the sword of the gospel has kept our family together, even though they live halfway around the world. And I remember telling a preacher student while I was in East Tennessee School of Preaching, well, how can you stand having your daughter living halfway around the world? Well, you know, that's as far as she can get away from me without starting to come back. And you know, as long as we're faithful in Christ, we're never apart from each other. You know, the Lord said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that when we're in the family of God, aren't we always in fellowship one with another? And to know that wherever your grandchildren are bringing up, if they're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, You know, you can lay down and put your head on a pillow and sleep at night knowing everything's all right. Because of the opportunity. You know, David said there in Psalms 139, 23 through 24, he says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, is that your mindset this evening? You know, I could just about say yes, because here it is on a Wednesday night in Huntsville, Alabama, and you've come out to study the Bible. God bless you for your love for the truth, your desire to learn more and more about the gospel. And yet when you think about when David wrote that, he had already said in Psalms 139, 1 through 6, concerning the omniscience of God, he said, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me. Thou hast known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways." You know, that's almost frightening sometimes to think that God knows everything about us. Everything. You know, no wonder Solomon said in Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And yet when you think about the omnipresence of the Lord, you know, "Lord, if I ascend up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there Thy right hand shall hold me, and Thou shalt be with me." You know, that gives me great comfort when I leave my home and I get on a plane to go somewhere to preach the gospel, to know that the Lord's not only with me, He's with my family, He's with my brothers and sisters in Christ. He brings people together from all walks of life. You know, to think that Arnold would work with an old construction worker and Glenn would preach right alongside of me, and he knows so much more about the gospel than I do. And yet we're all working for the same goal. You know, it's a privilege to be a brother in Christ. No wonder Paul, when he wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You think about the all power of God, because God has highly exalted our Lord and has given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not today, they may not tomorrow, but someday everyone will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, whether they like it or not. But it's so much better if we can help them to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to encourage one another, if we failed in the past, to magnify the Lord. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs 1:23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." You know, wasn't that the very purpose for which God sent forth the Holy Spirit on Pentecost? To reveal all those things that Jesus had taught concerning Himself, plus what the prophets had revealed who was coming. And we have those 39 Old Testament books that says Jesus was coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John says He came. And from the book of Acts all the way through Revelation, and John concludes, He's coming again. And are we going to be ready? Are we going to encourage others to be ready? You know, if there's any a verse that should frighten us, and the place where we live should be Proverbs 14:34, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, sin is very prevalent in India, but it's the same way here, isn't it? In many ways, as I travel in India and go into the homes, sometimes the home structures are more structured, more like it ought to be in the United States, where at one time we claimed to be a nation under God, and now we have so many in the nation that claiming there is no God, and they're living as such. You know, only the fool would say in his heart, "There is no God." It's one thing to say it, but it's one way to thing to do is to live like there isn't a God, as though you have no moral obligation or responsibility to anyone else. And yet Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we need to stop that road and those on it, to turn them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's at home or abroad or whatever it might be. You know, we never know when doors may be shut in India where we can't go back in. And we were blessed to be able to travel there. Not only, it was kind of a whirlwind trip with Glenn and Arnold. We hit the ground running there in Madras, and we got Bibles purchased, and we traveled up to the places where the preachers they needed to meet with and get it all done in 2 weeks. And then I turned back around and went back up into northern India and traveled to 5 other states. We held 65 meetings along, counting the ones that we held with Glenn and Arnold. And we was able to see so many put their Lord on in baptism, I think 90 souls. Just because, you know, Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." That as we carry the gospel and we show the way that people ought to direct their steps in following Jesus Christ, knowing that the psalmist said in Psalms 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." There's never been a greater time in the history of the United States when we need to stand up, not only with the people in India, but in the United States, stand up for Jesus Christ and let our voices be heard along with all those that are claiming everything else. We need to stand for the truth. We need to be the bright and shining light that Jesus wanted us to be. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and we need to let that gospel shine. You know, this is a picture up in the Potoroo Mountains, and probably one of the few pictures that you could take where there's no houses in sight. It's hard to get where there's no people. And yet, you think about no people compared to over 1 billion people, and the need to carry the gospel to all the world. You know, Christ said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." Everyone deserves the right to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every little child needs to know that there is a God, and that we need to stand up and be those teachers and preachers and Christians that God wants us to be. You know, we have a responsibility because we're the temple of God. And you think about that great privilege, you know, to exalt the name of Christ. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy." When you're in the presence of the Almighty God, is that when you're the most happiest? Well, then you must be some of the happiest people in the world. Because if you're a Christian and you're faithful, He's always there. And yet you think about, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, heaven awaits each and every one of us this evening. You know, there may be some in this room that may not ever see tomorrow, but there's a better place waiting. There's a greater hope for those that will exalt His name. And as Jesus invites, and we're to share that invitation, you know, it's a universal invitation. When Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You know, when we will take the name of Jesus and exalt that name above every name, and that His desires will be our desires, His thoughts will be our thoughts, His ways will be our ways. As He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." And as Christ said, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." Can you think of being a spokesman for anybody greater than that we're able to speak for? That when we speak up for Christ, we have the authority of the Almighty God. And yet people around the world are hearing that gospel. Many put their Lord on in baptism every day because of gospel preachers in India. We were able to work at 7 different preacher schools this past trip. I took Arnold and Glenn there to one there at Ellaroo. And Glenn used his teachings that he does here on Sunday night with the young people. And they loved that. And so I asked Glenn, can I use that? And so I used that wherever we went. And he used it in Madras before they flew out. We went over to the preacher school there. There's a congregation of over 700 members. And they had around 40-some preacher students. And Glenn used that in one of his lessons, in one of the classes. And they just ate that up. And I'm sure there are those being taught just like that because you're sending Glenn and Arnold to India. And there'll be more and more souls put on the gospel of Christ because of that. We've seen 32 preacher students graduate and able to help them to send Bibles to their places where they were going to go back. You know, there's over 26 dialects in India. And so when they come to that school there in Madras, they have to speak English so they can not only learn together, then they can go back to their different countries, different states, and preach the gospel. Well, this is one of the villages up in the village of Potaru up there on the mountains where they have the coffee beans. And it's a small congregation, but they were so thrilled to see us come up and to carry the gospel of Christ to them. Never forget that you're the temple of God. Whether you're in this building, whether you're at your homes, in our assemblies, and in our goings, we need to be evangelists. We need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether we're in India, whether we're on somebody's front porch, like we were having a meeting here on somebody's front porch in one of the villages in India. We have a lot of meetings like that. They just seek for a place to get out of the sun, and wherever they can crowd in, they'll sit down on a concrete floor or on the ground. And wherever it's convenient, it doesn't matter to them if you will come and preach the gospel. And I reckon that's one of the things that keeps me going back. When they asked me at Bridgeport, would I consider going to India? I had never been a traveler until my daughter went to New Zealand. And then they were involved in the New Zealand work and said, we'll send you to New Zealand as well. And I said, well, I'll go to India. And I made a trip there, and I told them when I got back, it was such a culture shock to me. I said, I'll take the work only if you'll let me take it 1 year at a time. I just didn't know how well I would get along in India. In 2005, during the tsunami, we had a wreck. Broke a hip in three places. Crashed in my face. The veterinary there that went with me, Randy Smith, it looked like somebody had tried to scalp him. And we got back safely. And within 4 months, I was back in India. Because of people will study the Bible with you. They'll sit and listen to you preach the gospel. And you see people putting their Lord on in baptism. You know, when Arnold and Glenn was going to go to the Ukraine in June, they give me the privilege to travel with them. And y'all was going to send me. And I wanted to go so much, but you know, we already had a campaign set in Cleveland, Tennessee, where my son-in-law had been working for the past 4 months in area-wide evangelism. And we had a door-knocking campaign. And from that campaign, they ended up setting up 14 Bible studies, 22 correspondence courses, and 125 callbacks. They've had a baptism as a result from it, and still ongoing studies. And you know, evangelism is wherever you're at the building, as you go down the street, whoever you come in contact with, there's an opportunity to set up a study. And that's the great part about being in the Lord's church. And if you knock enough people's doors, and you've given enough invitations for a study, you know, sooner or later, you're going to have a study. And if you study with enough people, you're going to see people just like this lady in India putting their Lord on in baptism. And you know, that's what it's all about, seeing more and more souls brought to Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, there's nothing like sitting down and watching the gospel change somebody's attitude. To sit down through three studies, I use the open Bible study, and to just let the gospel answer their questions, and to let God's Word direct their life, and see their character change about the church as they learn the truth. And then to see their tears roll up in their eyes, and go down their face and say, I want to put my Lord on in baptism. There's nothing like that. No wonder when Jesus said, "You'll either bear much fruit for me in the kingdom," in John 15 and verse 8. But also he said in verse 11, that your joy might be full. You know, there's no joy like seeing someone else put their Lord on in baptism. And it doesn't matter whether you go to India or you do it in West Huntsville or in Bridgeport, Alabama, or whatever state in the United States you're in, or wherever you may go. You may have an opportunity to set a cornerstone for a building. Because of the tsunami, you notice the man that was the white-haired man preaching on the front porch, his name's Russell Bale. He had been into this village over 25 years ago and had started the work in this village. It was a fisherman's village. And we had met these members there in 2005 during the tsunami. And they had all their fishing nets destroyed and their boats. And we was able to carry funds from the United States and purchase them a large boat and a large net. And 79 families agreed to work together and to share that net and boats so they could continue on to maintain their lifestyle. And a result of that was they continued to grow, not only spiritually but numerically. And what we're doing is laying a cornerstone for their new building. They outgrew their building. When we were there that night, they sat on the outside around the building, looking through the little windows of the building that they were in. And now that congregation's still growing because people continue to go and people continue to grow. And they're not only building a building, but you know they've put their heart and soul in the chief cornerstone. You know, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of our life. So when we build physical buildings, may we never lose sight of the true cornerstone, Jesus Christ. May we never lose sight that we are the temple of God, just like God said in 2 Corinthians 6:16. And He says, "And I will dwell in them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God." Only if we'll come out from amongst the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And He says, "I will be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And it's not unusual, whether it's day or night, in India, we've traveled into villages. And you may have just finished a meeting around 8:30 at night and thought, well, you might go home. Well, you'll get an invitation to come to another meeting. And you can travel to about 10 o'clock and the village will be totally dark. And they'll take you into one of them little buildings and set you down by a candle and say, "You wait here, brother, and we'll be back." And they'll go get the brethren and the people of the village. And the next thing you know, in about 30 minutes, they'll fill that building. And it doesn't matter whether it's day or night in India. If you want to preach and teach, they'll arrange a meeting for you. And you'll see people put their Lord on in baptism. And yet, you've got to remember, you know, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave their increase." You know, that's why we need to magnify the Lord and exalt His name. And to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see the souls around the world being changed for good. We basically, since I've been in the work in India, are trying to edify, to educate, and to encourage the brethren in India. Many of them are still living in very deep poverty. Some of them may not know any different because they've never seen any different and may never experience any different. I was telling one of the brethren here earlier, you can go back in India 200 years just like that. And you can get in some of the remote villages where they just got the mud walls, the thatched roof houses. It's nothing unusual to meet thousands of people that still work in the rice fields, making anywhere from $1 to $2.50 a day, U.S. And it's not unusual to preach at a congregation, and when it's time for the contribution on Sunday, that they'll come up and they have their rice bowls, and they'll have a big bowl set on the floor, and they'll dump their rice as their contribution, because that's how they get paid. And many of them, that's what they live from day to day, depending on the rice. And I reckon that's... Do I have five more minutes? Five more minutes. You have to listen to me. You know, to think about the privileges to help with the education of gospel preachers and to encourage others with the gospel of Christ and to take Bibles. We try to purchase 1,000 Bibles each trip, 2,000 Bibles a year, and that's not many Bibles. We can have one preacher training class, and it's not unusual to have 100 or 200 preachers show up, and that doesn't leave many Bibles for many preachers. And so that's always a need for us to take Bibles, and especially where we're going into areas where we're hoping to encourage and establish new congregations. We'll carry communion trays and cups with us, so that we can leave them with the essentials to carry on with worship. And the different expenses, you know, there's always expenses. But one thing still in India, I just talked to S. John this past week, and they told me that the exchange rate was up a little bit. I know when we was there in January, it was anywhere from $38.50 to $39.50, and it's around $40 to $40.50 right now, so a little better. Still pretty good. Our U.S. dollars must be getting better in India. And so we can still get more accomplished in India with our U.S. dollar than any other place that I'm going right at the moment. And yet, we can still come up with a blank page if we forget, you know, what the true work is all about. But I'm so thankful to be able to be here at West Huntsville this evening for the privilege to get to share not only the gospel, but also a little bit about the India work that you're involved in. And I was able to work alongside Fanning Heights till they sold their building. And I got to know Brother Fred Updegraff, which was a close friend of mine. And he was a great encourager. He encouraged a lot of people in India. And but it's good to be here with you this evening. And hopefully, Lord willing, we can spend some time together some other day. Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.